Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Nashville is Dan Fabry. Dan is the founder and CEO of Maze Analytics, and when he's not busy doing that, he is the assistant professor of biomedical informatics and computer science at Vanderbilt University. Dan, thanks for taking the time away from your two gigs to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's actually three gigs. I actually have a one-year-old daughter that keeps me busy as well.
Well, based on my experience, that makes it five gigs. But anyway,
yep.
So we're going to talk today about data management and outsourcing it. I think the key thing to ask first of all is, what are some of the key risks when outsourcing data management?
Sure, that's a great question. And I think, at first, it's really important to understand how we got to where we are today. You know, a decade or two ago, a lot of healthcare organizations or covered entities stored all their data on site. They kept all their data in their firewall, and vendors came inside their organization to deploy their software. In the recent decade, we've seen data move to the cloud. And so when data moves to the cloud, often this means that covered entities and healthcare organizations lose visibility into where data are going, who's storing that data, and how vendors are starting to use that data when they provide a service. And we've all heard about big data and machine learning and AI, and those tools and technologies have great potential and great opportunity. But as we use those, we need to make sure that vendors who are consuming data and are using that data are doing so in an appropriate manner. And so that gets me to your question with regard to what are the key risks when outsourcing data management systems to vendors and third parties. We break down risk in really three parts. How are data being mixed in a cloud vendor? Are the data being stored in a single-tenant environment or a multi-tenant environment? How are third-party vendors using that data for other purposes? Are they using it for other purposes that are not contracted? And third, when using machine learning technology, how are vendors using their machine learning technologies to group data from multiple institutions and then deploy those machine learning models to other organizations out there today? And so just to restate, data mixing is one risk that we see from out there. Machine learning model mixing is another. And then data repurposing is the third risk that we think many organizations need to start thinking about when moving their data to the cloud for outsourced data management.
And just to make sure I've got the term right, when you talk about single tenant versus multi-tenant, when it's a multi-tenant situation, that's where you have that data mixing situation that you're referring to, correct?
Yeah. So a single tenant environment means that there is a logical difference and barrier between two covered entities' data stored in the cloud. A single tenant can be both just logical. It also could be physical separation between virtual machines. We saw the Spectre and Meltdown attacks cause vulnerabilities when you had the ability to look into other people's data when you run a program on the same machine. A multi-tenant environment is when a vendor runs their software on one big box and aggregates data from multiple covered entities into that big box or database or backend server. And that does present a large risk for healthcare organizations if their data are starting to be mixed. You know, can simple bugs with respect to software inadvertently expose your patient data to another set of hospital employees? And so, thinking about, are you sending your data to a vendor that's single tenant versus multi-tenant is one of the really important questions that healthcare organizations need to ask when they start contracting with vendors.
Okay. Now, before the outsourcing even begins and we get to this issue, there's a strong need to vet the vendor. Similar like all the other third-party risk areas, your data provider's not immune from that. What should a healthcare provider look for to be sure that the vendor is going to provide the data security that they need, especially in this day and age where, as you already mentioned, there's lots of bugs and viruses out there?
Sure. This is really a kind of a peel back the onion approach in terms of doing your risk assessment. Now, it's first starting with asking the question, where are my data being stored? where, you know, who physically has access to my data. And that goes not just from, you know, locally, the vendors figuring out who has access, but, you know, what IP ports or IP addresses are accessible for a third party or even anyone in the public to access the vendor system. And then you have to start thinking about intrusion detection, virus management, data encryption, and even placement of data on the vendor system. Now, one thing we talk a lot about when doing a risk assessment is what type of visibility does the hospital or covered entity have in terms of where their data is actually being physically stored inside the vendor's application. Is it in a relational database? Is it being physically stored across multiple geographical regions? Is the data being moved, for example, outside the country? All these questions are important questions that should be asked when doing your risk assessment and are necessary not just from the planning phase, but also for continued monitoring as you start deploying the application.
And I imagine the question of where physically the server is, as you talked about, is moving outside the country, especially for any healthcare or any entity that's operating globally, you've got to be aware of all the privacy laws you may be triggering, correct? Or am I overthinking that?
Yeah, I mean, I know many healthcare organizations today restrict data placement to a U.S. based, right? The concept of having their data moved out of the U.S. Is a big no-go from a lot of these organizations. Also, talking about and asking your vendor, do they have technical support or development operations outside the country, and are those people using VPN access into their network to provide support to the tool and access your underlying protected health information? And so those type of questions are really necessary to get into the bottom of where your vendor is storing the data and who from the vendor's side is actually going in and accessing that data. I think those are important things. I also think it's really important when you start to get into machine learning and AI that you start to ask also along the lines of how are you using my data for clinical predictions and machine learning? Are you combining my data with other hospital data sets to build a machine learning model? Are you taking covered entity A's data and combining it with covered entity B to build a new model that you then deploy at A and B? Because when you start combining data sets from different places, this really creates a whole range of problems that many people aren't thinking about. For example, if you're trying to predict if a patient population has diabetes with some fancy machine learning algorithm, if you don't, you know, if you build a model with data from the Southeast in the U.S. and the Northeast from the U.S., your diabetes rates are going to be different, and you can potentially make incorrect decisions. And so it's really important to understand not just, you know, what model you're deploying, but how is that model built, and if you, as a covered entity, are having your models being combined with other organizations to build models for that vendor.
That's definitely a good point or something to watch for. Now, you know, this sort of leads into another question, which is once the system's deployed, you're working together, you've done your due diligence, everything seems fine, there is still the need to periodically monitor and audit, including, you know, as you're talking about just now, is your data being combined with others for not bad purposes, but just, you know, for purposes of better machine learning? You know, so how should you audit the vendor after the relationship's up and running?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, this is extremely hard and one of the biggest challenges right now. Bluntly, most organizations just have contractual agreements in place that require that the vendor and third party are holding up their contractual obligations in terms of securing data, managing data, limiting access as needed. But really, this is just a black box where the covered entity is sending data to the vendor and ensuring that they're doing the right thing. And really, what we think is that, you know, the next stage in terms of ensuring that vendors are using your data in the appropriate manner is having better transparency. You need to have better accounting of where your data are stored, how your data are being used, and where your data are being transferred, either inside the vendor or, you know, a vendor sending data to another vendor and being able to track that. And so to achieve this, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of organizations should start talking about and thinking about is asking vendors for detailed descriptions and detailed provenance tracking of where data are stored, and then also asking contractually for logs of all the activity that are performed against the data that they're sending to the vendor. For example, can you get a log of all the SQL queries performed against the data you've sent to a vendor? or a history of all the CSV files that are sent outside of the vendor to another organization. Having visibility into exactly what commands are run on the data set and how it's being used allows you to actually start having the conversation of what are you doing with my data versus simply just saying, here's my data, I hope you do the right thing with it.
Well, and I would imagine that process might also identify misuses internally of the data by people running queries, no?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what in today's world, when you send data to a third-party vendor and you give them, for example, a huge copy of your medical record system, what's to prevent them from using that data set to build a new product, to launch a new system that's not at all related to your contractual agreement? Today, I mean, they simply have your entire data set, and because machine learning and AI tools of the modern age are based on larger and larger data sets and having the appropriate data to back up the models you're building, if you have no visibility in what your vendor is doing, how can you guarantee they're not repurposing your data for some new method, for some new technology, and doing that without your contractual obligation, without your permission? And so while contractual obligations are an important first step, you need to have the appropriate visibility to ensure that they're not copying and reusing your data for alternative purposes that you otherwise would not want to see happen.
So all of this leads to another question, which is there any data that should not be outsourced?
I mean, so this is a hard question because it's really project and problem specific, right? We can have a long discussion if social security numbers should be outsourced, but, you know, if you're providing, clinical decision support on heart attack risk, you know, you probably don't need a social security number. But if you're doing billing for insurance claims, that likely requires it. And so there's an entire suite of systems that should be considered when you start outsourcing data to vendors, right? There's the minimum necessary requirements about sending only the necessary fields. You can then start thinking about tools about de-identifying the data that are sent, both from redacting specific identifiers to grouping and anonymizing data so that, for example, no one patient can be identified by their specific zip code, ICD diagnosis codes, and gender and age. And then lastly, when performing aggregate queries on large data sets, using tools like differential privacy and other methods to ensure that when people are querying your data, they are not able to make inferences about the underlying data without the appropriate controls. And so, you know, in summary, while outsourcing data is becoming more and more popular because vendors are providing more and more useful tools to cover entities, you know, there does need to be a risk assessment in terms of what exactly our data are being sent out, who's receiving the most high-risk fields, and what limiting factors can be put on that data transfer to help mitigate breach. Because, you know, when a covered entity sends data to a business associate, and that, for example, business associate is breached, the covered entity and that hospital is still responsible for remediating that breach and dealing with the problems that are incurred. And so, you know, it doesn't just behoove the hospital to ensure that they have good privacy and security controls on their data. They also need to ensure that their partners, their vendor partners, are doing the right thing to protect their data such that if they are breached, you mitigate the risk to the overall healthcare organization and community. So, I think there's a lot of risk out there, and this is just a step-by-step process that organizations need to take when evaluating what data they want to send out to third parties.
Well, there's a lot there to think about, and I appreciate the fact that also you gave some very specific questions that people should be asking. So, Dan, thank you for sharing all of that with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.